Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
And welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Awardner. And in this episode, my beloved Christmas pod, which was episode number 25 in this series, meaning it's Christmas Day if you're listening in real time, I thought I would give you a compilation. Why? Because on Christmas Day, what I'm normally doing is cooking, and I can't keep my attention on a film, and the radio maybe doesn't keep my attention either. So I thought, well, I'll just put some snippets of our conversations from the last few years with some of my favourite guests onto an episode. Maybe there's a bit of a chuckle along the way, and it can just keep you company, whether you're peeling sprouts or making a gravy, or if you're not listening to this during Christmas pudding, you might actually get an introduction to some of the guests who, if you're new, if you've only just discovered the podcast, you might get a sense of some of the conversations that we've had previously. And obviously, I'm going to start with one of my favourite conversations. And actually, it was the beginning of our first time ever together on tape. It's Caroline Hirons. And Caroline and I met through rock music. We met at a Motley Crue concert. That's how we properly got to know each other. And so this conversation from her first appearance on the podcast ages ago now, she must come back, is us talking about rock concerts, sexual awakening at rock concerts, live music, the playlist that we make to keep us company, whether we're working, whether we're exercising, whatever you might be doing, a road trip. And it's just a bit of a giggle. So here she is. Here's the first part of this compilation episode. It's Caroline Hirons from way back in the day, and I talking all things, well, we're being rock chicks. That's how I'm going to look at it. In fact, that brings us neatly into the first time that we hung out.
Which was a Motley Crue concert.
Which I think is perfect.
The perfect meeting point for us. In fact, if it was a date, we'd totally be married by now.
Yes. In fact, I'm a little bit annoyed that we haven't taken it to the next level. I do remember, because Caroline, let's not beat around the bush, you're a big deal in the beauty industry. Don't be blushing now.
Oh, I don't know.
And I do remember being a bit like, oh, I'm going to go and see Motley Crue with Hirons. It's interesting. And then, oh, I have actually shared one of the highlights of my life with you, which is seeing Tommy Lee aerial drum.
Tommy Lee aerial drum. And he didn't get stuck the night we went. He got stuck the night after.
What would you have done had he got stuck the night that we went?
Probably pissed myself off. Probably just have been in hysterics, literally.
But it's quite far into the concert that the sort of roller coaster of aerial drumming occurs. And I remember, because it was quite a while in, I'd had a few wines.
You had a few wines.
And I remember being aware, Caroline Hirons is next to me and she's a big deal. And then during the aerial drumming, headbanging, and thinking, my hair's definitely flicking against Caroline Hirons. I wonder if she minds. But being so into the drum solo that I thought, do you know what?
No, we were totally into it. Langer's was also hanging.
I know.
It was.
Happy days.
Awesome. I know it's really bad for you, but I do like that buzzy feeling. Post-concert, where you're like, oh my God, I'm alighting!
Yeah, and you can't hear anything, and you're deaf, and your ears buzz all the way home.
Mm.
Beautiful.
And we discovered that night that was not the first time that we had been at Wembley Arena
together.
The same time.
We've been to many gigs together at the same time, separately.
But it was in excess.
In excess.
It would have been 1984, surely, or 1986?
No, 1987.
Oh, yes, that makes more sense. Mm. A 7-year-old going to
87 and 88.
Supported
in my
by
excess days.
Big Pig.
God, I remember Big Pig. I've got the ticket stub somewhere. I used to keep all my ticket stubs. It's probably at my mum's house.
Do you? Oh God, I love collectors. I love that sort of stuff. Because it's the stuff that when you're having a clear out, you bin because you think, oh, I'm never going to need that, and then one day you think.
My collection is quite tight now. I literally have kept, like, gig t-shirts. Some gig t-shirts. I've got all my 80s gig t-shirts. All my Duran stuff I've kept.
Mm-hmm.
All my record vinyl collection I've kept. My husband's got his, I've got mine. So I get quite excited thinking, oh, get the vinyl out. And I think, no, because those bastard kids will sell it or scratch it.
Is there any cross-pollination between...
Absolutely none.
Mr. Hi-Rise
no.
and... Oh, no.
Absolutely none. Maybe Bruce Springsteen, maybe Born in the USA, because I think I got my mum's copy of that, and he's a big Bruce fan. That's it. We bought no mutual music together.
And so is a good time in putting the vinyl on?
No, we don't put it on. He does now. He's put a record deck next to the bed on his side of the bed, and he goes mental at me because he's a musician and he's all about the sound and he has like big amps, and I literally play it through my tinny phone and I get just as excited and he goes mental. Like, why are you playing that on that crappy phone? Use the Bose. And I'm like, no, I have to put Bluetooth on.
He's a purist.
He's a complete vinyl snob and purist. And not just a vinyl snob, just a music snob. He wants to hear it properly or what's the point? Whereas I'll hear it on anything.
You don't mind, just you hear that bass line
and then I'm gone.
Under pressure and you're like, that's good enough for
yeah,
me.
That'll do.
What's his musical taste then? If there's no...
We're actually completely together now, but he's very much sort of like grown-up rock music. Like Gabriel Springsteen, you know, obviously he was a Led Zeppelin boy in the 70s, so he likes grown-up music that has something behind it, whereas I will happily sing Steel Panther in the car.
Death to All But Metal is my sort of motorway anthem, really. Yeah. I went to a wedding a few years ago and I made a playlist for the journey past Stonehenge. And
that's another thing, I make a playlist for every journey. Every journey's different. So if I'm going travelling on business, I make a new playlist. LA playlist, New York playlist. You have to have the right playlist.
Okay, all right. You have to talk me through this. I find this really fascinating. Because the wedding trip, I used it as an excuse to include Get in the Ring by Guns N' Roses. And then every time it came on, we'd just say this one's for you, etc. Hip Parader, Circus Magazine, and just revelled in the fact that I remembered it. Well, how do you plan a playlist? Because
whatever puts me in the mood for where I'm going to be. So LA is all sunshiny songs. New York is all sort of like Counting Crows and quite sort of much more sort of Greenwich Rock Village-y type thing.
Oh, August and everything up.
Obviously.
Great.
Although
album.
I prefer Recovering the Satellites, thank you very much.
Is that the one after
album
that?
Number two.
Right, yeah.
Thank you.
When he was with Courtney Cox.
And Jennifer Aniston, the dirty swine.
Dirty.
He is the least attractive, sexiest man I've ever seen. Like, he's really sexy, but he's so unattractive.
What's he called? Adam Durrance.
Adam Durrance. So he's not... You look at him and you think, okay...
He needs a wash.
Yeah. And, like, buy clothes that fit you, stop biting your nails, and dreadlocks at your age, really? Because he doesn't have dreadlocks. They're all... It's all just a weave.
Oh, yeah.
But then when you see on stage, I think, oh, hello.
See, I had that about Chris Robinson with the Black Rose.
No, he just needs a wash.
I saw him in concert. I must have been 12 and just was like, oh, something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was... Okay.
He was your sexual awakening?
Well, no, Prince was.
Oh, that's a good one.
Prince was. But when I saw Purple Rain in 1984, which I think is slightly appropriate given I was about 7, but I remember years later confessing to my mum... You know, the first time I ever sort of was attracted to a man was Prince. My mum goes, you know why that is, don't you, Emma? And I went, no, why? Thinking that she was going to reveal something really significant. She went, because he's got rhythm.
There you go. My sexual awakening was Michael Hutchence.
Yes, and that is an awakening that happens how often? How often do you reckon you think about Michael?
Oh, I try not to because it's too upsetting.
Yeah.
It's 20 years this year.
I can't believe that.
20 years this year. I was completely in love with Michael Hutchence. Completely.
How did you find out about InXS?
So I was a teenager up north, and the music scene's just always been... I've just always been obsessed with music, and went to the odd gig. But in those days, you had to go and queue up at the venue for tickets. Mm. None of this, you know, Ticketmaster, Viagogo crap. And I met some of my really good, still good friends at the front of queues for tickets, still. So I went, and my girlfriend and I can't even remember who I went with first, but I went to see InXS live and was totally hooked, and then went every time they played up north, and then when I moved to London, I went to every London gig. And then, you know, the Live Baby Live video? Mm. I was at that concert. And I was...
Did the camera go onto you?
No, because I was at the very, very back of Wembley Stadium because I was about to give birth to my first son. And so was my girlfriend Cheryl, who was about to give birth to her first son, and our girlfriend Heather, who just got hammered on our behalf. And it was the best.
I like Heather.
Yeah, because they were supported by Jellyfish. Remember Jellyfish?
Gosh.
Jellyfish rocks. The biggest band that never were. Mm. And Debbie Harry, Blondie, and Jesus Jones. And it was just a rocking good time. My husband, it wasn't my husband at the time, it was my boyfriend at the time, my partner. And he was like, you're not going to an InXS gig. Look at the size of you. You're going to get... And I was like, it'd be fine. We'll just sit at the back. Obviously, we danced through the whole thing. So how, neither of us gave birth, I do not know. But I bought the DVD and the video in every format I could get it and gave it to my son and said, you were there.
Aww.
You were there.
Happy christening.
Isn't Caroline great? I really love getting her on tape. This has been a good reminder to me, listeners, and I know it'll be something you may want to get her back on the show. Now, next in this compilation episode, I've included Lisa Potter Dixon, who is just such good energy to be around. She is such a positive, bright person that when you're with her, you can't help but feel energized. She really is one of those people who just gives off such good energy and vibe. She's a brilliant, brilliant friend. I'm so pleased that she's in my life. But this episode we recorded a while ago was all about her career, was all about her incredible work as a makeup artist. But we started off really talking about exactly that. Like, how do you stay positive? Why are you so positive? And then we go off on some tangents, which is exactly what you would expect from a conversation between Lisa and I. But we cover positivity, we cover relaxing and how a strong network of friends can be the most important thing in your life if you want to really make sure that you relax and unwind, to have people around you who say, I can see that you're about to get stressed, and to tell you to take it down a notch is so valuable. We talk about that. We talk about Lisa swimming Lake Geneva and why swimming is really important to how I talk a little bit about running. But it's just, and there's a little bit of interior design, but it's a little snippet from our conversation for a while ago. And obviously I'll put the full conversation and the link to it in the show notes. But this is just us having a bit of a laugh, and I hope you enjoy it. We are very special, aren't we?
I think we are very special. In fact, 2% special.
2% special. Why is that, Lisa?
Because we both have green eyes. Not hazel, like proper green eyes.
Proper green.
Yeah, we do.
And today, because we know our shiz, mm-hmm. and for people who don't know, although I would have told you in the introduction, Lisa is a superstar makeup artist, among many other things.
Thank you.
Author, celebrated all-round YouTube superstar. We know that purple and violet will accentuate the green in our eyes. So we're both wearing purple-based eye
for
decoration.
And we didn't even plan it.
Just instinctively knew. I haven't worn eyeliner for a while, actually.
It's really nice. You should wear it more.
Thank you. I might get you to just beef out the lines.
Yeah.
Do you fancy that?
Absolutely. I'm looking at you. Can you see me now looking at you? Like, what can I do?
Is it symmetrical? I'm very excited to talk to you because, A, we've been trying to do this for a while, mm-hmm. and schedules have been bonkers.
I think my email with the subject line, let's get shit done.
Yes.
Like, let's do
that. That was phase two. It started off and it was like, can we, should we, will we?
And then eventually there was like a bit of a lull, and then I just got this email into my inbox saying, let's get this shit done. I was like, she's speaking my language. Okay. It's so good. I want to get you on the show because I feel like, among many other things, you are a constant beam of sunshine in the beauty landscape.
Thank you.
You are nothing but good, positive energy in all of your output, whether it's Instagram or whether it's your YouTube or when I see you at events. And so part of me wants to see if that's all fake and actually you're miserable.
Fingers crossed it's not.
But I want to find out a bit more about you because you are an absolute whirlwind.
Yeah, indeed. And my friends tell me off all the time because I'm the worst relaxer in the world. Is that a word?
How do you relax then?
Hold on, let me think about this because it might... honestly, I feel like maybe shopping, is that...
Well, it's a kind of therapy, isn't it? Retail therapy.
It's true. No, honestly, I'm so shit at relaxing. I literally can't think, okay, I'll go swimming. There you go. Exercise and swimming. Even though that isn't relaxing, for me it is because it's a time that I have for myself. And swimming is something that in the past year and a half I've really got into in quite a...
Really?
Yeah, I swam Lake Geneva in July.
Oh, that little old thing.
With Lorraine Candy, actually, and a few other people. It was amazing. We did it as a relay. But yeah, no. So swimming, for me, is one of the only exercises where I don't think about work.
Interesting. Mm.
So that's my relaxing that I do four times a week.
I remember a few years ago, like being in a job that wasn't sort of fulfilling me and feeling quite sort of trapped and having lots of mental stuff going around it, like constantly worrying. And the only time I felt really relaxed was when I would run.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
And that's when I was running a lot, not because I was training for a half marathon. I ended up signing up for one because it seemed sort of
why not?
And everyone would be like, why are you doing all this running? Are you training for a marathon? I was like, no. But the reason I did it is because I just felt like mental clarity during and afterwards for a period of time. And then I remember being on a photo shoot and the model and I chatting about running because she really loved it. And she said, when you're running, it's just your heart and your brain communicating to keep you going.
Oh,
they don't have
that.
Any room for anything else. Like it's, well, your heart and your lungs and your brain are just concentrating on breath in, breath out, foot forward.
You know? I love that. Yeah, and that's so true actually. And exactly the same as swimming because you do have to concentrate. So.
Like, plus not drown.
Yeah, and plus not drown. Yeah, exactly. So, and also there's like loads of really nice swimsuits out there. So that's actually a big reason. I was like, do you know what? I'm going to try and find a sequin swimsuit. That was actually my mission.
Surely that would slow you down, though.
Who cares?
Oh, yeah, obviously it's that.
Who cares?
Who cares if it slows me down? It's like scales. Fish get away with it.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
You need... See, I want to get one of those Oon piece. Have you seen those?
A what?
Oon piece. They're long sleeve swimsuits with a zip, but they're very Mariah Carey in the Honey video.
Oh, yeah, when she comes out the sea after, like, James Bond
coming out
style
the swimming
one.
Pool and
oh,
she's
yeah, yeah,
then
yeah,
got
I
the
know.
Nude bikini on underneath.
I'm
going
to look into that.
By the way, I just pivoted on my chair there, listeners.
I can clarify that actually she's got a bad stomach. No, just joking. She wiggled on her chair, I promise.
I wiggled on the chair,
let's see if
I
that
apologize.
Keeps the edit.
No, it will. I don't edit these, partly because I'm not talented
okay,
enough.
Okay, sorry if this is 4 hours long.
No, it's fine. 4 hours is absolutely grand. So, swimming is your place to relax. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
I like that.
And going to the pub. No, but hanging out with my friends, do you know what I mean? Like, that's really, I'm really feel relaxed when I'm with my friends because they're the ones that tell me to relax. So I think that helps.
So you feel like they've got your back?
Oh, massively. Hugely.
See, that's really interesting because I think because I've often found, particularly with makeup artists or hairstylists, they tend to be empaths. They tend to be able to take on other people's burdens because in the dynamic of being someone's makeup artist, the person in the chair is sort of in charge in a sort of weird dynamic.
Yeah.
So the fact that you've got friends who kind of bolster you is very interesting and that they're not... drains.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that, you know, we just help each other out in so many ways, but they've got kind of like really important jobs, things like radiographers and teachers and stuff like that, but they're working, you know, normal hours, etc.
Yeah.
So they understand that there is a time when you can burn out, and they'll be the first to tell me if they think that I'm close to that.
Because you're complete polar opposite. Your schedule is as far away from 9 to 5 as it can possibly get.
It's crazy, and thank God I'm really lucky to have obviously Theo, my husband, as well, because he is the kind of guy that I'm so lucky. Like, I'll come home and there'll be a bath run, and he'll like make dinner, and it's actually an ongoing joke on when I do Insta stories, and Theo's cooking in the kitchen, and everyone's like, "Lise, seriously, do you ever cook?" I'm like, "Actually, I do," but he's also really good at that. So if he wants to, you know,
I let him.
Yeah.
So do you have an ice bucket on a stand in the bathroom? You need to
okay,
get one.
Can I just say, we're about to do our bathroom. Actually, this is, I'll just tell this story really quick. So Theo never says no to me. Oh, he'll kill me for saying that.
So why are you with Theo?
Yeah, no idea, honestly. No, but I basically love interior design, and I do a lot in our house. In our house, we've transformed it in the past kind of 5 years. And we're doing the bathroom in January, and I wanted to change a double room, that double bedroom, into the bathroom to have the bath in the middle with an ice bucket and literally a Prosecco fridge in the bathroom and like loads of plants, like a jungle.
Do it.
Exactly. Theo said no. He said, we need that double bedroom. I was like, what for? We just won't invite people to stay anymore, or they can sleep in the bath.
Yes.
So I'm still working on that, but yeah, great idea.
What about a conservatory? Ooh. Pamela Anderson, because I watched MTV Cribs. You know, she's got that whole, it's not really a conservatory, it's more of a beautiful home that's slightly away from her other beautiful home.
Okay.
It's all glass.
Like a summer house.
But in the middle of it, yeah, exactly. Yeah. In the middle of it, there is a roll-top bath and a massive chandelier. You're going to have a chandelier, right?
I have a chandelier in every single room in my house.
And you source these from where?
Okay.
I'm guessing you get these, you find these.
Oh, Kempton Market, which is like 10 minutes from my house, which is like the antiques market where all the antiques shops in London go to buy their stuff. So you buy everything like cheap.
Ooh.
eBay.
Yeah, I gotta love a bit of eBay.
eBay. And then I go like to the country outside London. So I'll go to like antique shops or car boot sales or whatever outside London because it's so much cheaper.
Genius.
So I actually genuinely for my wedding bought some chandelier pieces to hang from this thing that we made for like 2p each. And that was in like somewhere like Manchester.
Dear goodness, you're resourceful.
I know. Well, you know. Don't want to spend more than 2p on a chandelier piece, do you?
No, certainly not. She's so amazing to spend time with, White. I love, love, love Lisa Potter Dixon. Now, this next snippet was one of the hardest things to try and snip, cut and edit into this episode. But I knew that I couldn't do a compilation, particularly one at Christmas, without including the epic episode known by me and my therapist as Herding Kittens on Tape. It was the time that Trini Woodall, Caroline Hirons and Nadine Baggett came on the show. If you haven't listened to this episode, if maybe you only started listening to the podcast after this one was published, this gives you a sense. What does it give you a sense of? This gives you a sense of what it's like when the four of us get together in a room. We talk about magazines, print media, meditation, weirdly, vibrating. We talk about Bradley Cooper, starting businesses. We patting yourself on the back, having drive and phone calls. And interestingly, when I listen to this again, I've recently recorded with Trini. So there's a good 2 years, I think, between these two recordings. I've recently recorded with Trini and I had completely forgotten that we had already had a conversation about phone calls. So keep your ears peeled to a future episode with Trini, because we actually completely, without realizing, come back onto the subject of phone calls and how important they are in friendships in a future episode that has not been published yet. But now this is just 10 minutes of chaos. And we also talk about teeth. This is what happens. There is no linear structure to this. And yes, so editing it, trying to find a snippet that I could kind of put into a compilation was quite tricky, but I hope you agree was worth it.
Really?
Yeah, Caroline is
really
the only person I know.
Ironically, I read hello through your posts. That's the only way I read hello, and I
it's
love
the
it.
Best.
It's so fucking good.
I have staff members.
I've got a new bingo
and ex staff members of Hello, which is where I worked, obviously, for 18 years. secretly DMing me going, this is everything that every member of staff thinks but is too frightened to say about hello.
I'm just going to do it even more.
It's
now.
Just yeah. genius. No, it's never like, stop. Please never
like,
stop.
People are like, can you do it with gratitude? Okay. And I'm like, no, hello
it's
is
not the same.
It's in its own world.
It's its own.
Yeah.
And I'd revised the bingo. One of my readers did a hello with Hirons bingo. And I just tweaked it, made it bigger on an A4 so I could literally tick off the boxes. And that
one day, can we all do it live?
One of my favourite things, though, is when you're going through the party pages.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Another party we couldn't afford to, we're not rich enough to be at, or whatever.
A party you're too poor to attend.
Too poor to attend.
Trini's usually there.
I have, when have I last been in Hello Magazine?
But Trini's like, slumming it with us today.
I have not been out, literally, to a party for about a year.
Too busy building a business via Facebook, Trini.
I go out once a week at lunchtime with my partner, and I might go out every 3 weeks one night, and that's it.
We must do another day at that Italian restaurant, which, by the way, is some of the best food I've ever eaten.
I know. Lucia's Fulham Road, really good.
Yeah. Really good.
Not that he'll give me a cheaper bill,
should
but
we
anyway.
Let Emma get a while in edgeways here?
Sorry, Emma.
I feel a bit like Royal
Emma.
No, I just need it. I've been wanting a morning off. This is fabulous. So, four strong women around a table, around a podcast mic. Someone's vibrating.
You need to put it on.
Tell you who that is.
I'd like to permanently vibrate with some transcendental meditation, frankly.
Yeah. Do you do transcendental meditation?
When I was 19 and having a bit of a bad time in life, I thought, will TM fix it? But it lasted 3 weeks.
Did it give you...
I like a bit of vibration, but it has nothing to do with meditation.
For God's sake, that didn't take long, did it?
Yeah. Did you get your own special word?
I did get my own special word. Yes, I did.
I'm thinking very seriously about doing it, mainly because...
Well, it sounds like you've done it already if you know your own special word, Emma.
No, I just read... the blurb on the website. Right.
Is this a 26 Habits?
No, maybe. No, that's overdone.
Yeah. Ask Ben about it.
Ben. Ben, does he do it?
Well, he's
really?
He's in a big, massive self... not self-help, self... what's the word?
Improvement.
Improvement is probably better, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I listened to an interview with Bradley Cooper, and he said that after he started transcendental meditation, in a dream, he saw the opening scene of A Star Is Born, and that was the... starting point for that movie.
Yeah, because he'd seen it in 1976. Barbara Streisand.
Also, Bradley Cooper is a knob.
No, are you not saying Bradley Cooper's a knob?
No, I am. Like... I said that.
Oh,
sorry.
I quite like him. I like
Bradley Cooper. I like him in Hangover Cure. I did like a Hangover.
Oh, you love a trashy movie.
Yeah, I love a trashy movie. Bridesmaids, my favourite trashy movie of all time.
It's too close to the bone for me, Bridesmaids.
Why, did you vomit at a wedding?
It has a couple of brilliant scenes. Okay, here's the thing. Too much information.
Yeah, but
the scene where the mum on the plane is talking to the other one about how she has sons and she cracked a sheet the other day, that was my life for a long time.
Caroline is now putting lip gloss on. She's taken tablets.
She's had breakfast.
She's flossed her teeth.
Flossed my teeth.
The Invisalign is going to go back in a minute.
No, I don't think I will, because it might make me a bit lippy.
But you're very
Invisalign looking very good,
free.
Caroline.
And I've just taken them.
Just taking them out to have a breakfast.
Looking beautiful. They really are looking good.
How many years are you going to have them?
Nearly done, and then I'm going to get them whitened. And my dentist said, "What shade?" And I said, "One shade whiter than John Jovi."
Yeah. Okay. Have you got to have the retainers at the back? The
permanent? I'm sure I will, because the bottom teeth were the ones that were the problem. I don't mind.
Sorry, Emma. Do you want to get back to what this is about?
Let's not talking about
squirrel.
Where are we at?
It's because Trini's wearing sparkles. Everyone's distracted.
But Trini's always in sparkles. I'm immune to it now.
True.
My whole cab at the moment is full of sparkles.
I just tell you how
11 sparkle outfits.
Sure. You just stand next to her and the light reflects onto you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can actually go
just
over.
Like a human disco ball.
Look, I can be Caroline's light.
Yes.
Okay. That was a Tatler shoot.
Yes. Not my first time, can you tell?
Right, so strong, independent women around the table.
On recent podcasts, I've had loads of feedback from people about how they have been very inspired by a lot of the guests on here, are women talking about how they've either set up businesses or how they've come back from pain or adversity or what have you. And I thought, this came out of the Instagram Live, I think I started saying that about 25 minutes ago, where somebody said, where I
sorry,
said...
Sorry, Emma, we'll be quiet now.
Well, not kind of the point, but yeah. Where I said, who would you like me to get on the show? And several people said, Nadine, Caroline, Trini, all in the same episode. So this has actually been a little bit in the making. But Trini, you have established and run your own business, pioneering in the beauty industry, your stackable pots, you've got a yellow taxi outside.
Yeah, just I'm deciding not to kind of promote myself as I travel through London. But it is, I think for me, it was that sense, when I started it, I was already 50. Mm. And I'd had probably three careers up to that point. So I dabbled in commodity trading, which I was absolutely terrible at, and tried to be a man, didn't work out. Then I did sort of PR-y things, and then I fell into being, you know, having a column in the Telegraph and doing telly. So I kind of knew I'd always wanted to have something that there was a brand, mm. you know, that I could kind of physically see all the time, that people would have, even when I was asleep, they'd be doing things with that. Mm-hmm. There's something incredibly exciting about that. And then I'd always kind of, you know, stacked my little pots and done my makeup like that. And I just, you've got to do, I think when you're doing something where it's going to take all your energy, you've got to have such an unwavering sense that this is what I want in my life, I need, I use. It's got to come from your core. Mm-hmm. And I think that you need that, and especially if you're not 30 doing it, because you're driving. I now have a team, and there's about 20 people in my office, but about 12 of them are under the age of 26.
They're children.
And they're children. I even have my nephew in there who's 18, who's like the most irritating company mascot ever.
Oh, is this...
Luke. Oh, no, this is Luke. No, Ross would be insulted if you said he was that age. But anyway, Ross is now his boss. But Luke, red-headed mad boy... And
is that Luke who we filmed with yesterday?
Well, Luke we filmed with yesterday. And what's interesting about him, he came in, and apart from trying to chat up every boy, girl and everything and ruin our lovely manic office, he's actually incredibly good at quite a few things. And so I have to hold my tongue when I want to say, Luke, you're not all on to do that, because then he'll come out with something and I'll think, fuck, he's right. You know, just a little, it could be technical stuff, but so... Having the energy to drive that team, you need to live and breathe.
You can't half-ass
your brand.
You can't half-ass
yeah.
it. And,
it's exhausting.
And it can be exhausting. So
I don't think there are many people who've worked as hard as you have in the last year.
I think many people do, Nadine, but I think I do it publicly.
Yeah,
you know
maybe,
what I mean?
Maybe.
I think many, many women do, and many women who start a business, you know, it can be incredibly difficult. I've had a couple of businesses that have crashed and burned. So mm-hmm. it's just, you know, it's very difficult to do it. And think, and also the hardest thing, if it's kind of growing really quickly and you have one bad day mm-hmm. in sales or something, to not think, oh my God, my business is collapsing, but to realize, actually, look at all these women using the product. Look how many 20,000 customers you've mm-hmm. got in a year, and they're all using it. And just then that makes me think, okay, so it's to look at the big picture, to look at the medium, and to kind of be aware of the immediate things you've got to do, but not let them drive your direction.
Well, this is another thing about this particular group of women, because I have Caroline and Nadine specifically on a WhatsApp group, and I feel like that group keeps me sane yeah. because I work for myself, I make my own living. And
can
you
I
can
be on that WhatsApp group?
No.
We can have our own.
But we'll do a separate one, because there's way too much... It's just way
there's
too much.
History and shit on
there's
that.
There's a
if I look
lot
back
of swearing.
You won't okay. see the history.
And, and beauty insider stuff.
Yeah,
wouldn't you wouldn't actually...
It's inappropriate for you, Trini.
Why? Are you slagging some things off?
No, never.
But, so, getting back to the point quickly before we go into that particular chat history, I feel that I need my women around me, my yep. strong, independent yep. women who've been there. And if I'm having a weird day... Nadine, you'll sometimes say to me, if I told you this time a year ago that you'd have this problem, you would have been like, fine.
That's my most common thing I say to you, isn't it? I always say, you have to look back a year and think, if you could imagine in a year's time, you would be where you are now. You'd be so chuffed with yourself. But it's hard to, you're always looking forward to the next challenge. And I think that's one thing that all four of us have in common, is we very rarely pat ourselves on the back and say, look where we've come. We're just constantly thinking, right, where's the next mountain?
Else,
I just need to scale that next mountain. And I think it's occasionally when I say to you, as I just said to you, you're one of, you are without a doubt one of the hardest working women I know, your first instinct was not to say, yes, I am. It was to say, but I'm sure, not everybody does it, but I'm sure they don't, Trini.
Well, I think...
But I do know that every brand owner does that. And every obsessive brand owner I know does that.
And everyone, woman in different industries. And, you know, in all our ways, we do that. We give it our all. That's why we're sitting together in this room and having a bit in common, because we feel that sense of drive. And it's kind of... It is so important to take that moment, you know. And I just... The thing I need to learn every day is take that moment of
just... That's why I think you have to build a nest of strong women around you who help you with
it. Because I think you can also become quite isolated when you grow a business, in that you don't see so many of your friends. So, like, I realised between when I was pre-launching it and when I launched it, I gave a lunch for my girlfriends for my birthday, and I realised I hadn't seen any 16 of them apart from one in that whole year.
Wow. That's a lot.
And I just thought to myself, I've got it, because... We don't, you know, people before, well, maybe this is just me, but people before would use the phone more, and people don't use the phone so much now, because they feel they might be interrupting, and it's kind of weird to make a phone call. I never thought we'd get to a place where we might think it's weird to make a phone call. And the joy of the unexpected phone call is that somebody would catch you at a moment when maybe you weren't going to call them up sound feeling shit, and they'd say, you don't sound great, what's going on? And it gave a moment for you to actually be honest and say, I'm not feeling great, and ask for help. And so... When it's all by text or email, you have the opportunity to sort of not perhaps reveal as much that you might think, I'm having a really difficult day. And then you don't end up sharing that difficult day with enough women. So that's where I'm at. So that's why I said, can I join your WhatsApp group? Because I lack that. And sometimes if you have women in a very different space and have a different pace of life, it's hard to share it with them.
I'm making another WhatsApp group as we speak. Okay, it's fine.
But it is the thing that I do notice that change in how we communicate, and it does affect.
It's quite strange things. Because it is true, my best friend lives in Leeds, and if we WhatsApp, and if I call her, she answers the phone and says, what's wrong? Because that's our level of communication now is. You know, if you're texting someone, the tone, if you say I'm having a bad day, the tone could be someone's just died, or I just spilt my coffee in Starbucks.
80% of communication is non-verbal.
So if you can't hear the tone of voice, you're kind of, you don't, and then you if you are going to send a message, you don't want to seem dramatic. We're all sort of built in to not be drama queens, you know, unless you're 16. And so it's strange how, you know, 20, 25 years ago, my entire life was on the phone. And now it's looking at the phone.
Well, you see, I'm one of the few people that still phones.
Well, it's good you phone.
I do phone. And I think I phone because I have long nails and I'm terrible at texting. And in the end, I just get so annoyed with myself. And I just go, oh, fuck it, I'm going to ring somebody. And I can almost hear them looking at the phone going, what the hell is Nadine calling about? And I go,
see,
I'm sorry.
Weirdly, if you called me, I wouldn't think there's anything wrong. Because I know we're phone people. Yeah.
Because we're phone people. And then I automatically just say, but the first thing you do when you phone somebody is you apologise for phoning them. You go, I'm terribly sorry to phone, but I'm just useless at texting. Can we just talk? Or, in the case of this one over here, Guns, we FaceTime. And then I always apologise for the way I look.
I love a bit of FaceTime.
I want to know she's not completely unapologetic. And who else could I include in a compilation episode other than Jules Von Hepp? Always good energy. And in this episode, this is from ages ago, but this is such a lovely look at things like how to say no, finding your tribe, why your friends are so important, the importance of not being starstruck and why celebrity is actually a bit of a nonsense and setting boundaries, and why it doesn't matter who you are or who you think somebody is. Treat everybody the same. It was so nice. And also there was some hydration. We recorded this episode, I remember it very clearly, we recorded this episode whilst just lying on his bed. So if you can hear the rustling of sheets, it's just because we actually filmed this in Jules's bed, which was rather lovely. So I hope that you enjoy the company of Jules as much as I did.
I've never really been starstruck. I think I get more starstruck if I see someone from Hollyoaks walking down the street in Manchester. Like, I've never had that because And people say to me, oh my God, you know, are celebrities different? Are they different from any other person? No.
Only if you treat them differently.
Yeah, they're absolutely the same. And I don't treat anybody differently. I was having this conversation with a guy who owns a shop in Chiswick, and he's from Manchester, and we were just getting on like a house on fire. And he said, you know, my pet hate is people speaking to other people differently because of what they do for a living. And I said, well, I'm exactly the same. Like, I will speak to a shopkeeper or I'll speak to a waiter the same as I'll speak to Blake Lively. I don't care. You are no different. You still deserve to be, I'm going to be nice to you unless you're a dick to me. And then I'll be a dick to you. And I've worked with some of the most amazing, inspiring people, but I've also worked with some absolutely vile people who, yeah, I mean, God, I've got content for the book, The Booth of Truth, which will come out when I'm ready to hang up the tanning gun. I mean, the stories are golden, but just like the tans, actually. But I now, as a rule, if I don't like a client or I think they're a mean person, I don't care how famous they are, I'm not interested.
You won't turn them again.
And maybe that will put me behind other people, and maybe that will, it won't put me in good stead, but I don't care. If you're a dick, you're a dick, and I'm not interested.
Do you give people a second chance?
Yeah. I would never just do that on one time. I'd give them a few goes, but I have had like a few clients who like, it's so funny, if anyone is listening and they work in beauty, you'll get what I mean, but like, there is a thing where a client will book you, say they'll book you for like 11, and sometimes they literally will think it's bang on okay to turn up at 12:30, and they'll arrive home and they'll be like, so sorry, stuck in traffic. But when you start seeing it happen every single time, and then you get to the house, they're not actually in the booth or having their treatment until like another hour later. Nah, not worth it. Not worth it.
It's a lack of respect, isn't it?
It's so disrespectful. It's like, I've got stuff to do, you've got stuff to do. Come on.
Why? Okay, if you had to, obviously mentioning no names, because it isn't about names, it's just about temperament in many ways. If you had to, in your years' experience, say what it is that makes people vile, because I'm going to interject here and say, in all of my years of doing, of interviewing famous people or celebrities, whatever it might be, the bad experiences, I always come away thinking that person's either unhappy or they're incredibly insecure. And that's what it boils down to. So I tend to almost feel sympathy. I don't necessarily work with them again, but I feel somewhat sorry for them. Is that how you've come away from?
I think, and this isn't even about like being a celebrity spray tanner. This I actually learned from when I was working in retail, that when a customer was horrible to me, I used to take it really personally. I'd be like, they hated me. That's so hard. But I remember my manager saying, she's probably found out her husband's cheated on her this morning, or something's gone really wrong and it's put her in a foul mood for the day. And that's kind of how I think. I'm like, they're not vile people, but something's made them be vile.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you just have to check a few things. But, you know, sometimes if someone's horrible, they're just horrible. Like, they are just really horrible people. Because I like to think, no one's going to be horrible to me because, A, I've got a spray tan gun in my hand, so I could do a really bad job. And I can write and have written stuff on people's backs. Like, only because one person said, I bet you can't write this. And I said, I bet I can in tan. But
can you say what the word was?
It's probably the worst swear word you can possibly imagine.
Okay. I think we all know what
it is. But also, I'm in their house. And they're naked, and I'm really nice. So chances are, you know, I've only ever had like 5% of my clients be horrible. I'm very lucky. I think a niceness attracts niceness. I hate the word nice. Loveliness attracts loveliness.
Yeah, it's that thing of nice or being lovely is one thing. But there's not being so nice that you're just letting people get away with it. And that's a really fine line. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, if you're lovely, but you've clearly got your boundaries, people won't push them. But if you're lovely and it looks like you might give a little, that's when people can take advantage.
Yeah, and I've learned that the hard way. People have definitely walked all over me. And I am a complete yes man. So I'll just be like, no problem. And then I do get walked all over.
Well, how do you handle that? Because that's tough.
I think you have to know when to say yes and when not to. For me, it's taken me a while to learn to be able to say no. That's actually quite a hard thing to do.
Really hard.
Because I think it, you know, you don't. I don't like missing an opportunity. I hate FOMO, and I think, you know, you've got to pick which, when's the right time to say no or decline something, and that's a really hard thing to do, because I'm always like, oh God, that could be something that would be really good for me. But yeah.
The power of no is, oh, it's such a hard thing. Because I know that in the past I've been like, yeah, no, that's fine. Because I've thought, because deep down I've known that if I said no, that person would probably not call me again or wouldn't like me anymore. So I thought, well, I'll say yes, because then that puts off the inevitable. But then all that happens is it builds up and it's a big no, and then there's a massive show.
Well, then I think when you're saying no, you have to know why you are actually declining it. Is it because they are a horrible person, or is it because of a situation that isn't going to benefit you work-wise, or is it because time-wise you might not have enough? And then I think you need to work back. So if you're saying no because they're a horrible person, then actually you need to just get that person out of your life, because it's because they're a mood hoover.
You're coming out with them today, Jules, a mood hoover.
Mood hoovers, yeah. I experience it quite a lot. I've got a couple of friends that I'm really considering getting rid of at the moment, because they are complete mood hoovers. Always talking about them, always just, and never really asking how I am. And it's one-sided friendships, and that is so draining. You should never, ever do it. You need to feed off each other's energy.
Mm.
If someone's really energetic, you will obviously feed off that, but also it needs to go the other way. But then also, if the situation isn't going to benefit you, why, I don't know, why do it?
So there you go. A little bit of a compilation, a little taster of some of the conversations that have been on the podcast over the years. And I just wanted to go back a little bit further, just for someone who maybe discovered the show in 2019 or 2018 and maybe hadn't heard from those guests before. It's been a really good reminder that I need to get all of these brilliant women back on the show, and men, obviously Jules is a man. It's really important to get all of these people back on the show, because they are just so wonderful and so generous with their positivity and their wisdom. And they're my friends. I call them my friends. They are my friends. I adore them. And I really adore sharing how brilliant they are with you too. So thank you so much for listening. If you want to get in touch with me, email me on thebeautypodcast@gmail.com, or you can slide into my DMs on Instagram and Twitter, where I am @EmmaGunns. If you want to chat to me and thousands of other listeners of this podcast, then click the link in the show notes, which can be found wherever it is that you are streaming and downloading this episode. And click the link to join the Facebook forum. It's so simple. Answer the questions, agree to the rules, and you will be welcomed in with open arms. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you on the next one.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author Elizabeth Gilbert about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.